Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to Table Manners. I'm Jessie Ware, and I'm here on a breezy late March afternoon. The morning. We're doing a brunch today, aren't we?
Yes, darling.
I'm really looking forward to this guest. I've never met this brilliant chef, but I know lots of people that know her. I like her books a lot. I've used her recipes. Her name is Thomasina Myers, and you'll know her from, well, she started in MasterChef, didn't she?
Yeah, I watched her on MasterChef. I remember
her.
She won it.
Then she started Oaxaca.
Oaxaca, Mexican food, and she's often a guest judge on MasterChef. You know I watch MasterChef and Great Britain.
Yes, I do. We have Thomasina Myers, OBE, who is on today. She's got a new book called Meat Free Mexican.
I know, it's gorgeous.
She's like perfect for you.
I know, I've been right through it.
It's really good.
I was going to cook something from it today, but I thought I wouldn't do it as well as her, so I've done something else. But so excited to have it and cook from it.
You know what? Oaxaca was the first restaurant group in the UK to be certified carbon neutral.
Really?
Yeah, she's pretty amazing.
She's kind of, she's such an admirable woman. She's an entrepreneur. You know, it's clever to be able to extend your love of food and open a whole chain of restaurants.
May I ask what you've made for our brunch today with Thomasina?
Well, I've done an ottolenghi dish, which I've worked out, having put it all together. It's like eggy bread, but baked. So it's a frittata, but it's got ciabatta in it. So, and you steep it in the egg and everything. So it's a bit like eggy bread, but baked eggy bread.
Isn't this what he... Sorry
with
to remind everyone of the brunch that we have with...
No.
Isn't this
might
what
have
he
been.
Made us?
No, I don't think it had... I think it was much flatter frittata. This is like a deep dish.
And I'm really surprised you didn't do something from Thomasina's book. Sorry.
Oh.
Sorry.
Jessie, I had my hair appointment at 8 o'clock this morning.
Oh, yeah, there was a whole thing about whether your
I've
hairdresser
had to fit
would have
all
been
this
gone.
In.
Your hair does look nice.
Does it?
Very nice colour, Mum.
So I've cooked it. It's really eggs, lot of eggs, ciabatta bread, cumin, milk, and parmesan, and a little bit of cream, and baked in the oven. I'm going to serve it with a salad because it's brunch, isn't it? I'm starving, actually.
And as Thomasina is a chef, and because, you know, this is a thing that we always cheekily ask, we have requested Thomasina to bring a dessert, but she did say she would try her best, but she may not be able to.
Oh,
so let's see. I bet you she will bring something, and I bet it will be absolutely
I've got a
stupendous.
Few.
And I bet she'll go, oh, I just whipped it. Oh, God, I'm
well,
so sorry for this delicious.
Worst, I've got my olive oil biscuits and creme fraiche.
Fine.
And mascarpone and strawberries. So we'll be all right.
We're gearing up for the tour.
I know, darling.
I feel like you're just like you're settling into it now.
Do you think?
Yeah, you've worked out where you're going to be cooking your chicken soups and how you're going to transport this chicken soup.
I wished I'd invested in Skims.
Skims?
Yeah.
Why?
When I'm on stage. I'm at my best.
I don't think your adoring fans will give a shit about what underwear you're wearing.
Okay.
We are so excited. We can't wait to see you around the country. It starts in Edinburgh, Queen's Hall on the 28th of April. Then we go to Manchester Bridgewater Hall, Birmingham Town Hall, and then London Palladium for 2 nights, finishing the tour on the 9th of May. Let us know if you're coming. We're going to try and find our super fan on this tour. How many episodes are we on now, Al? Over 180 episodes. So we've got plenty to talk about. We want to know who knows more than us about our own podcast. Also, I'm very intrigued to know if anybody is coming to the tour, You can email in to hello@tablemannerspodcast.com. Maybe we'll include you within our show. Maybe if you've got a very important story that we need to know about food or family or drinks or dinners, we'd love to include you. So start emailing over anything that you would like to have a discussion with us about on these tours. And if you've got any questions for us that you want to ask us, you know, just email us at hello@tablemannerspodcast.com and let us know which show you're coming from.
You will be rewarded.
You will be. Wow. What, mother? The wonderful Thomasina Myers coming up on Table Manners. Thomasina Myers, you are in our kitchen. You've bought gifts.
Yeah.
You've bought hood. And I know you've got about 10,000 things you're doing
and
today.
And you look fabulous.
And you look glamorous and fabulous. Thank you for doing this.
Oh, thanks for having me.
I have a lot to ask you, but let's start from the beginning. We've heard about your grandmother from Tennessee as we walked in, who has the fabulous hats. But where did you grow up?
I grew up in Shepherd's Bush. I just grew up in London but love food, really love food. Got a really strong connection to the countryside. I used to go and stay with my granny and grandpa in one part of the country, and he grew vegetables.
Where was that?
That was like kind of Oxfordshire. And then my other granny, the one from Tennessee, lived in deepest, darkest Wales. And she was amazing.
How did she end up there, Paul?
Poor thing. How did she end up there?
With her fabulous hats in the middle of
maybe
Wales.
Maybe she had a lovely time.
Going down the con club.
Well, we loved it because there are all these castles in Wales.
And there are.
Yeah, so we're always going to these amazing ruins, Carrickenan Castle. And it's quite foodie Wales, actually. Ingredients are amazing.
Abergavenny. Yeah.
Abergavenny.
I've heard about Abergavenny being like the food hotspot.
It is great. Yeah,
it's
really
good. They've got a food festival, I think.
Yeah, they've got a food festival, exactly.
So you're Tennessee grandma
who ate cream and butter with everything.
Oh,
like, we grew up, she loved a cocktail, so we grew up with my memory of my father shaking cocktails in her fabulous kind of place in Wales. It was a small cottage, but it was pink, which was epic. And then shaking cocktails and then making delicious food.
What did she like?
Well, she loved a whiskey sour because she drank whiskey. Yeah. That's why I drink whiskey now. Like, my friends all drink gin, but Dad caught me drinking gin when I was about 15. He was like, no child of mine is going to drink gin. You must try whiskey.
What's your favourite whiskey? I know nothing about whiskey, really.
I mean, I love all sorts. I mean, I like Balvenie. I like Highland Park. Mm. I like even a blend. I'm not snobby about whiskey. Because I like it with soda.
Is this presumptuous of me, or are you a big tequila fan?
I mean, I love tequila.
Yeah, my experience of growing up was terrible with it, but now I'm learning more about it and it is such a great drink.
I think it's like a sunshine, happy drink. Mm. It always makes me want to like dance on tables.
How do you take your tequila?
Well, at Oaxaca, we've got this phrase, which is sip, don't shoot, because it's so delicious. Mm. Like, why would you want to like knock it back?
Sip, don't shoot.
Yeah, so, and actually traditionally you drink it with something called sangrita, which if you like Bloody Mary, which is also another like cocktail I love. So tomato juice, but also fresh orange, fresh lime, lots of Tabasco, Worcester sauce, bit of grenadine. And you'd sip that alongside your tequila. And you can sip. So before lunch on a Sunday, you might have like 3 glasses of tequila with this little spicy, slightly sweet, citrusy sangrita.
Yes.
And it's just delicious. So good. Definitely good for hangover
as well.
How
did you fall in love with Mexico?
I went when I was 18. Thought all the food was Tex-Mex. Started traveling around, and just thought, this is nuts. Why is this food so good? And just noticed the way it changed everywhere I went with my backpack on, you know, sleeping in a hammock and just kind of eating everything I could. And it kept changing. And I just got fascinated. I thought, right, I've discovered that Mexican food is delicious. I'm going back and I'm going to actually eat proper Mexican when I get back to London. And I just couldn't find any. And I realized that we all thought it was Tex-Mex. And it's nuts to think that Texas is a state in the States. Part of it used to be Mexico, which is why they eat in that similar way. But essentially, it's American. It's Texas. You know, it's Texan food. And they convinced the entire world, or they did convince the entire world, that it was Mexican. And I think that was so fascinating to me. So I just had this thing in my head for ages. And then I went back and lived there. I opened a cocktail bar, lived in Mexico City.
You're kidding.
Yeah, I mean, it was quite mad, but it was really fun.
How old were you?
I was quite old, actually. At this stage, all my friends were settling down. They're doing really well in their careers. I didn't know what I was doing in my life. I really struggled in my 20s to find out what I wanted to do.
Had you studied, gone to university or anything?
I went to uni. I came out with not a great degree. Had a bit of a breakdown.
In what?
Modern languages. So I loved speaking Spanish.
Yeah. Oh.
I loved speaking Spanish. Yeah. So my dad travelled around Latin America for work when I was growing up. So he said, you must speak Spanish. It's a great language. Mm-hmm. So that was, so large part of it, I got to think, thanks, Dad, for that. Little push, because I wouldn't have ended up in Mexico.
So you're a bit lost after university.
I was so lost. And I think so many people are lost, actually. It's really hard in your 20s to know what to do. Yeah. I was struggling. I, you know, had a bit of depression, all that kind of stuff. So really not a fun time. And I thought I should be doing something academic. So I went to a really academic day school in London. And then I was in a fashion show, Clarissa Dixon White, one of the two fat ladies. We were modelling Barbara. I was in a Barbara bikini. She was in a coat. And backstage, I just was like, by this stage, I was actually desperate. I was really felt total failure. I'd done internet strategy at the height of .com boom. I'd done so many things and I couldn't stick at any of them. Thought I was kind of flawed and damaged. And she just said, if you love food, why aren't you cooking for a living? It just sounds so obvious. But in those days, food wasn't quite so...
No.
I mean, that the seismic shift in food's just been incredible in the last 15 years. So didn't really seem like it was... Anyway, food. I went off to Ballymaloe in Ireland, which is the most amazing cooking school.
Yes.
Like groundbreaking cooking school. Doreen Allen, who runs it, was talking about soil 25 years ago. And soil is this amazing, like almost crisis. Like 95% of our food grows in soil and we're getting rid of 3 football fields of good soil every minute. It's like this global crisis that no one's talking about. You know, we talk about all sorts of things. We don't talk about how we grow our food and, you know, insects depletion and all this stuff is so important. In, you know, we talk about carbon as well. Let's cut our carbon emissions. But unless we stop putting nitrogens and herbicides and pesticides on our soil, we're really doomed. So that's what I'm really fascinated in, is how food can save the world. And what I love about Mexico and the connection to it is that the milpa in Mexico is this amazing way of harvesting. So they plant the corn crop and the bean crop and the courgette plants and the chilies and the tomatoes all together. And all the different plants give something to the earth. So the corn provides a structure, the beans can grow up, and the beans fix the nitrogen in the soil that feeds the courgette and the corn. And then the courgette got all these prickly like leaves that stop the insects crawling around and prevent, kind of keep this moisture in the ground. And so you don't need to spray with all these oil-rich chemicals which destroy the earth. So actually, ancient, and that's why this, well, I've just written a book about Mexican food, but it's vegetarian. And what's so fascinating is the way the ancient Mexican tribes used to eat, the native Mexicans, the Mixtecs, the Aztecs, was largely vegetables, because it's, there's biodiversity, this crazy amount of fruit and vegetables in this country, 50,000 plant species compared with about 1,500 in the UK. It's quite full of incredible food. And that's mostly what they ate, the amazing protein-rich beans and the corn, which is this amazing superfood, and all the lovely fruit and vegetables, and then a bit of fish, a bit of forage birds. But that diet is just actually so healthy and amazing and nutritious. And the rainbow food that we all talk about now, the rainbow diet.
Is this your first vegetarian cookbook?
Yeah.
Congratulations. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it really is.
It is beautiful. Oh. And I would have cooked from something from it today, but I was a bit shy.
No.
So, she got nervous.
I got nervous.
So, I
made something for brunch that I felt safer with.
But you did bring pud, which is a recipe from the cookbook.
Yeah, which actually has got tequila in it.
Great.
Because chocolate and tequila is like one of the perfect marriages. And, you know, chocolate also being from Mexico, there's something about those two flavours. It's just so insane. So like our go-to, when I go to my parents' house, our go-to pudding is always like ice cream from the freezer. And then we just whip up a chocolate sauce with tequila in it. It's just like
tequila in your chocolate sauce.
Oh my God, it's so good. It's literally the best.
When you do a chocolate sauce, do you just melt chocolate and put a bit of cream in?
Cream, milk. If you don't have cream, you can use whole milk.
Yeah.
And then you can put a bit of butter, but you don't have to. Salt, definitely a bit of sea salt. And it met a nice bit of golden syrup whack in there.
And then when do you put the booze in? Because does it make it...
Once you've got the cream or the milk in, then you're safe. That won't split the chocolate. And then just pour in the booze then. And then to taste. I mean, I always start with 1 or 2 tablespoons of tequila and then add a bit more. It's just got to have the nice amount. Sometimes even drizzle a bit on top of the ice cream and chocolate sauce at the end.
I remember, because I'm obsessed with cooking programs, but only ones not main chef. So I remember you from MasterChef. But were you on MasterChef the Professionals or MasterChef just the ordinary one?
No, because I was then, those are my kind of, that was my days of not knowing what that.
That's what I thought.
Was
so
doing.
That's quite brave to go and do that. So you went and did Ballymillet, like you did, went and did yeah. that, and then straight after that, was it?
Well, no, because then, so after Ballymillet, didn't know what I was doing, so I went and made cheese in West Cork. Which was amazing.
What sort?
Gabine, which is a kind of semi-soft rind cheese, washed rind cheese, delicious. Tom and Jonah, just imagine living. Imagine being really not knowing what you're doing with your life and then ending up on a cheese farm in West Cork. It was literally bliss, with the sea right there. And Tom and Jane, I just lived in their farmhouse. I met a girl called Clodagh McKenna, who's a cook. So we had a little moving market stand. She would make pasta, I'd make sourdough, and we'd travel around Ireland doing this little market sort. It was really fun. Then my boyfriend got a bit cross.
Why?
When are you coming back to London? Also, I was a bit
Is he still your boyfriend?
No, sadly. Anyway, that's another story. So then what happened? Then on a cheese stand in Ireland, I managed to get a job in London. So then I was managing a shop called Vlandry in London. And they had bakery underground in the basement, which is extraordinary because in those days, no one made fresh bread like we do. I mean, obviously some people made bread, but they're making their own croissants and power chocolate, all that stuff. Angus, this amazing guy, was making the food. And so I started doing a stall for them as well. Because this thing about selling, you know, buying direct from a farmer, I'm really into, like, cutting out the middleman who takes all the profit and buying from people who are actually looking after the planet, looking after the soil. You can go back to the soil and nature and looking after the insects and the bees and the earthworms and the birds. Like, unless we actually buy our food from people who are taking care of the planet and their little farm, their little patch of land, and paying all the people around them a fair wage, that feels to me, that's proper ownership and politically kind of like, I'm going to vote with my foot. I'm going to spend money at this guy. I know his name. I know he looks after people. I know he looks after the land. Mm. That for me is, what do you call it? Food activism.
But like, so for people that are listening to that and being like, well, how do I do that? So what do you think would be the best start for people that want to support the farmers, support people that are, you know, and want to be involved in food activism? Where should they be shopping? Farmers markets or...?
I think farmers markets get a massive bad rap of being overpriced and for the privilege. And I think it's not true. I think there are so many layers here. Like the charity that I helped set up is called Chefs in Schools. And that is about feeding kids in schools proper food.
My friend's a chef actually in it.
One really?
Of them. Yeah, she's one in Stoke Newington. She's Clara's doing it, yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah.
Oh, Clara.
Clara, she's been a catering chef and she was really disillusioned with her catering jobs and so she started doing this.
It's amazing.
And she's like, the food is just fantastic.
Yeah.
I want to get it in my kids' school. That's your child. I'm so sorry, I didn't know that.
No. I mean, I kind of put everyone in a room, said, come on, let's do it. And then I realised that I was beginning to like have sleepless nights because, as always, I was over back. I always take on too much. It's my classic, I think, ADHD thing. And I suddenly was like, look, I actually can't do this. I'll be a trustee, but I can't actually set up this charity because I had no time. I was still doing Oaxaca many days a week. And so we got it set up. Largely they got it set up, but I'm still a trustee. I've got a meeting this afternoon. It's amazing. So 50 pence per people per day, cheaper than the massive contract caterers. We feed the kids really incredible food, fresh baked bread. You divert that money, you pay the chefs and the school cooks a better wage, and they become part of the school. Like, the kids know their name, they're the heroes of the school because they're producing food.
But do schools still even have kitchens?
A lot of schools still have kitchens. And do you know what? It's a real bugbear of mine. Restaurants have the calories gone on the menus tomorrow.
They did it at Tolls Hill.
They're doing the calories.
Calories. Yeah. Right, guess what a roast was? 1,800 calories. Oh, I nearly died. Roast beef in Yorkshire port.
I think I know how you're going to feel about this, but how do you feel about seeing the calories?
Well, calories don't tell you anything about how healthy the food is, whether it's got fibre in it, how it was grown, whether it had chemicals put on it.
Because of obesity.
Obesity. So food-related disease is killing more people than alcohol and smoking. So I get they're trying to do something, but why not do something in schools?
Isn't it going
to
make more kind of...
We can make everyone anxious.
Everyone have like these weird relationships.
So at
with
the
food.
Fish and chip shop, they're going to say, when you have your cod and chips, this is how much you're...
Look, we all know that's calorific and it's not that great for you, but you do it once in a blue moon, maybe.
I agree. And you get people get so anxious about food anyway.
Food poverty is more important than...
Food poverty is way more important, which is why the Department of Education seems to think that food is not related to education. And our thing is, it is. So we have... UK has national food standards, but the Department of Education does not stick to them or does not make the school stick to them. So 80% of secondary schools are failing their school food standards. Now, this is like, when we're looking at food prices for the next 2 years, Ukraine, all that, there are going to be so many more people struggling to eat. Mm. The school is the one place where kids can get a proper
meal,
once a day.
But they don't give it. They don't offer it.
But they're not offering it. So, you know, much better focus on the schools and get good food. And we've proven chefs in schools, you can do it.
You should sort out hospitals after that.
And hospitals. Prulise on hospitals.
She's
it's really hard. But you've got to get the government, you know, come on, Boris. Food's important. It's not a luxury. Food is how we, you know, if you think about the survival, without food, we're dead. And without good food, we're ill. So, like, why should only rich people be able to afford good food? Surely it's every person's human right to be able to eat well. And it doesn't have to cost a fortune. It really doesn't. But it does depend on education and knowing what to do with the food and... You know, we've got to eat more pulses and less meat.
Obesity is more common in poorer people than rich people. So it's not about quantity. It's about what you're eating.
Yeah, it's about
what
what's
you can
in
afford.
It.
Tommy, this is... All of it is so fascinating. And, well, I can't wait to chat to you more. But I want to start from what you... Do you remember about your upbringing, your really memorable dishes from your childhood?
Well, so money was a real struggle. So... My mother was always trying to make the ends meet at the end of the week. That's what I really remembered. And she was always buying stuff in season. So we would have a supper in like kind of in a couple of months would be a Globe shake. And she'd burn butter. So it was really delicious. Put loads of salt in.
Oh, so she was
and
a
then
cook.
We'd dip. She was a really good cook. And then we'd dip brown bread into it at the end and eat the cut up the heart and put it in the butter and put it all over the bread. And the bread would be soaked up with this burnt butter. So food was really pleasurable, but always on this kind of budget. So she would only buy aubergine in the summer because it was affordable then. And then the tomatoes. So it was all about eating. We'd have like sandwich competitions on a Saturday, or BLTs were like the treat where she'd get streaky bacon and cook it. And then she'd get the lettuce. In those days, it was iceberg. And then she'd lather it in mayonnaise. She'd probably make the mayonnaise. And then, you know, we'd get the bread out and the tomatoes. And she'd dress the tomato with salt and pepper, a bit of brown sugar, a bit of vinegar. And then we'd all assemble our own BLTs the way we wanted to.
I love this idea of a sandwich competition.
Oh, yeah, it was really fun. So...
Why was she so interested in food?
Well, I think she loved food because her grandmother was from South Africa and they cooked. My father loved food because his mother cooked.
What did he do? He worked.
He just made omelettes in those days. He had his omelette pan, and if you went near it, you were toast. I'm in serious trouble.
They were good omelettes?
He made really good omelettes, like really good omelettes.
What was the secret?
Really hot pan. So you get the pan. It was a really heavy cast iron flat omelette pan. You'd have to get it smoking. I still remember the lesson he gave me. Wait for it smoking hot before you put the butter in. So literally you had to wait. And I'd sit there with my head waiting to watch the smoke rise. And then once it was smoking hot, so on the flame for like a good couple of minutes, then you add the butter, sizzle, and then you throw the eggs in, which, you know, whisked up with herbs or what a bit of cheese if you want or whatever, salt and pepper, obviously. And then you wait and then you scoop and you tilt and you scoop and you tilt and you scoop. So you get a lovely kind of caramelized side, whatever it's called. I should know the name of that, what do you call it, when that lovely caramelization of food goes on. And that's where you get the flavor from. And then not overcook it. And then flop it out onto your plate with a lovely simple salad and toast. And that's delicious supper. And that's not expensive. Mm. So good food. I grew up knowing that good food is not expensive. But you do have to know how to cook it and what to do with the ingredients, like the beans or whatever, or the soup.
You must have understood seasonal foods at such an early age, which I feel like I probably, and many of people I know, probably didn't appreciate fully.
Yeah, but I think things have changed, Jessie, because I think we access food from all over the place.
Yeah.
I mean, if we actually look, sometimes I'm horrified and I see, you know, fancy raspberries and they come from the in Morocco. This and it's your carbon footprint and everything is extraordinary. But I think we're so used to now having it whenever we want it,
it is
that
tricky.
We don't resist and wait for it to come into season.
It's so tricky. You're right. We are completely used to having whatever we want whenever we want. But there's a cost to that.
Yeah,
you know, we're seeing
that. And Oaxaca was the first carbon neutral restaurant in the UK.
Yeah,
How did that? Was that difficult?
Well, do you know what? So my business partner said, I think we should open more than one. And at that point, I got a bit nervous because I'd only ever eaten in restaurants that weren't, there was just one of them, you know, local neighbourhood. Someone's at the door.
Yeah, so it's a delivery, no doubt.
So I thought, well, if we're going to have more than one, we've just got to make sure they're as green as possible and then I'll be happy. So I remember starting off and getting in touch with kind of local producers and trying to get a nice food on the menu, and I was obsessed with, I was slightly terrified about the fact it was Mexican food because I didn't want to ship stuff over from Mexico.
Well, avocados and stuff like that.
Didn't want air miles and all that kind of stuff. So I got really fixated on trying to make it as green as possible. And then my business partner actually really got the bit between his teeth too. So I was focusing on the food side, but he started focusing on the build of all our restaurants. And so he was recycling all the materials from the restaurants we took over and starting to, so we get these amazing SCAR ratings for all our sites now because we divert the hot air from our fridges and freezers and it goes to heat the water in our taps.
What does SCAR mean?
SKA, I don't know. It's what I think retail uses it a lot for like green build. But we were the first kind of restaurant group to start using it too.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Should we have something to eat?
Yes, please. Yeah. So I love the picture that you've painted of your upbringing and cooking together. I presume like your parents were allowing you to cook from an early age and teaching you and kind of...
Well, I got so bored so easily and I was really bad at playing. So my brother and sister would be doing this creative play and be like engrossed for hours and I'd be like within 10 minutes going, oh, I'm bored. So then I started playing in the kitchen. So yeah, I was tinkering in the kitchen from the word go. And I remember seeing my mother's side and her showing me how you get so much flavour out of onions by just cooking them slow and sweet, or how to make a white sauce and to cook out the flour first and get that caramelisation going with the butter before you add the milk, and how to stir it without getting the lumps. And you know, she bought the same ingredients week after week because they were the cheap ones, but she showed me how to get the most flavour out of them. And then the leftovers, you know, she would always show me how to make these epic leftover bubble and squeak things or whatever, you know, it would be really fun, like the kitchen forage where you're reaching to the back and thinking, what are we going to eat? Come on, let's pull this out because this is going to be delicious. And that's just how I grew up cooking. And I just always credit her with that, just understanding those real fundamental building blocks of food and flavour.
You have children, don't you?
Yeah.
And how are they in the kitchen?
They are... So it's, I think it's more complicated when it's your mother always cooking, because it's my thing, but they're getting more and more into it. And actually, when I go and cook and do a demo at a food festival, which I'm doing, I do all the time, I now get them up on the stage with me, which is so nice
do
for
you
me.
Want to help yourself?
Yeah, I'd love to. What is this? It's delicious.
It's
an ottolenghi.
An ottolenghi. It's a frittata made with eggs and ciabatta.
Oh my God, how delicious.
I hope it is.
Love ottolenghi.
I know.
Me too.
So great.
Oh, it looks lovely, Mum.
So great. Oh my God, it looks golden and delicious. Well, and
do you want me to say
fluffy and place? Light.
So you get your kids up on stage?
And then they help. So my proudest moment was when my daughter like jointed a bird on stage for me to then
what?
Like yeah, I mean literally.
How old is she? How old was she?
She was four. So
stop.
The locals had given us a duck that someone had shot, like a local farmer had shot, and she plucked the duck on stage, and then I could just like cut out the breasts and pan fry them by the end of the food demo. I mean, it was unreal. That's my proudest moment as a mother.
I bet.
I mean, literally, I was like, you'll be fine in the if you like, in the wilderness. If the world collapses, you'll be fine.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. But they do cook. I mean, my childminder is Spanish and she's vegetarian. So she cooks a lot
Did
with
you
them.
End up- Get some
into
the
veggies.
The plate's warm, which I and then I realised the plate was going to be warm, but it's all right.
I love
isn't it?
That. Love
That's
a warm
why
plate.
I, took it out.
I love a warm plate. I'm just tossing this because.
Thank you.
And I'm just throwing salad leaves everywhere.
Oh, it's fine. Your childmind is Spanish.
Yeah, and she also cooks with them, but I try and cook with them a lot actually, and I try not to throw it down their throats too much though, because you know that thing where if it's your mother, it's a bit annoying. So
they must be good eaters then, right?
They're good eaters. They're definitely good eaters.
Let's eat a little bit. So thanks, Mum. This smells amazing.
It looks delicious. Smells good.
It really nice. Does. Thank
oh,
you.
Oh, it's courgettes. Forgot to say that.
Oh my God, courgettes. It's delicious.
You can't taste bread, can you?
No.
It's bouncy. It's lovely.
Mm.
It's very light and fluffy. Mm. It's kind of almost like a souffle, isn't it?
Mm.
Was it quite easy to do, Mum?
Mm-mm.
No.
So I had my hair done this morning. Oh. It was six eggs, a kind of a loaf of ciabatta, but you had to take the crusts off. Mm. He said, save the crusts and make breadcrumbs, but I wasn't, life's too short. And it was just the eggs and grated courgette. Mm. So there's...
This is a really good brunch one to do.
I think
so
it's
good.
Definitely.
Lovely.
God, I love eggs. Where would we be without eggs?
Oh, I know. This is heaven,
so
Mum.
It's delicious.
You told me not to make it.
I did. I was like, I think you should do one from Thomasina's book.
Oh, this is really good.
But this is great.
Mm.
I hope so. Thomasina, what I wanted to ask was, okay, so Mexico is your love. For people, much like, I guess, when people first got an ottolenghi book or something, you know, a lot of the ingredients are alien to a lot of people that haven't cooked Mexican food. You know, there's a lot of chilies in there, like, you know, things like hibiscus. Is it relatively easy to find these ingredients in the UK?
That's what I wanted to know.
It's
as well.
Really easy. So, you know, everyone does an Ocado shop.
Yeah.
Lots of people do. Or any kind of supermarket shop. Mm. And they are basically, you can find them on any shop. Or go to the straight, you know, Max Grocer, Cool Chili Company is amazing. It's got all the stuff.
Cool Chili Company.
Cool Chili Company is incredible.
Oh, great.
And you just get an order of chilies in and they last forever. I mean, I've got chilies in my cupboard that have been there for, you know, probably 3 years, that they're still good to use because most of them are dried anyway.
Yeah.
So then all you do is rehydrate them. You either just de-seed them and come straight with boiling water, or if you're really foodie, you might toast them like a cumin seed. Mm-hmm. You know, you either grind it straight away or you toast it and grind it. So, but you can also buy chili flakes these days.
And what about soaking it? When would you soak it?
So basically, if you're using a dry chili and you want to put it in a mayonnaise or a sauce or a marinade, you basically take out the seeds, cover it in boiling water, soak it for 10 minutes, and then just blitz it with your tomatoes and your onions or whatever else you're blitzing
and does
it with.
Does it affect the heat?
No, because the different chilies have the different heat.
Mm-hmm.
So like an ancho is like, I want to call my dog ancho, my children wouldn't let me. Mm-hmm. It's like a lovely kind of soft, sweet, rounded flavour.
I've got some of those.
Yeah.
They are delicious. They are so good. And so that's brilliant.
You had another jalapeno one that I'd not heard of. I mean, I've just got old, like...
Chipotles?
Yeah.
No.
No, it's...
No. A Serrano.
Yeah, Serrano jalapeno. Yeah.
Yeah, Serrano's amazing. So they're a fresh chili, but you can buy them, well, you can buy them pickled. They're delicious. They're harder to get hold of. I think the fresh chilies are harder to get hold of. The dried are easy. Mm-hmm. Like Cascabel is my new favourite, and I use it a bit in the book. And it's always that tricky thing when you're writing a cookbook. You think, do I try and make everything really simple to get everyone cooking? Or some of the recipes, I actually want to use this chili because it's so good. So I make a chili oil with cascabel, which is so delicious. Cascabel's really mild, but it's got this fruity, kind of deep, rounded flavour. And it's just insane. And I kind of mix it sometimes with a hotter chili, like arbol, which is this really grassy chili. But you can use any dried red chili.
You can get these quite, well, you must do because you've got them.
You can get all of them. You can get all of them. But you don't need to get all of them straight away. That's the thing, you can just, I think, bit by bit. And I'm trying to...
Your starter pack, what would you say?
Ancho? Well, actually, Cool Chili do a workhorse pack, which I think has got ancho, pasilla... and chipotle in, I think. But I think ancho chipotle to start with. And then if you want to go a bit more, cascabel, arbol. Okay. A great arbol, A-R-B-O-L, is a great, just hot one. Great for chili oils.
Okay, so we ask all our guests, Last Supper. You knew potentially this was going to come.
I mean, it's so hard.
Starter, main, I mean, look.
But you can have a day of food. We allow people.
You can
do
whatever you like with this interpretation.
My God.
Of the last meal.
I love this, a whole day. I mean, I can eat quite a lot in a day. I did think about this. And I was really fixated on the starter. And it reminded me of when I did MasterChef and I had to cook for Michelle Roux, which was terrifying, by the way.
Was it?
It was, even though he's so nice. It was in the Gavroche kitchen. I was with all his staff. They were all looking at me going, who's this? They weren't actually saying that, but I was thinking.
But you felt
I was projecting.
You were anxious. Yeah.
I was anxious. And he made me cook a souffle suissesse, which is actually really easy, but it's one of the most delicious things. So it's basically a double cooked souffle.
Yeah.
So you cook it once, then you let it fall again, and then you basically put cream in a pan and you cook the cream and you basically simmer it and reduce it. And it goes quite nutty, like beurre noir, like a kind of noisette butter. So it goes kind of nutty and delicious. You season it quite heavily with salt and pepper. Not heavily, but season it beautifully with salt and pepper. Maybe a bit of nutmeg. And then you cover your souffle, your little souffle, your little cheese souffle, with that cream. And then you shave masses of Gruyere over it. And it's got Gruyere already in it. And you might put Parmesan too. And then you put it under the grill. And
Does it puff back up?
It puffs back up, but it's doused in this unbelievable kind of nutty, creamy, cheesy sauce. And you have that with a little crisp, delicious salad with lots of kind of mustard leaf and crunch and maybe some...
But when you got given that, were you like, come on? Or I know you were like a bit, you were definitely nervous, but were you like, oh, okay, I can do this?
No, that one I could do. And
because of Ballymaloe?
Well, I think because of mum, actually. I think because of mum. And I think I could do that. And also, now you've got to make the salad dressing. That's very important. And I was thinking, I'm all over this. I mean, mum, classically, it was in my book, Home Cook. At home, we always make a kind of gallon jar of French dressing. Mm-hmm. So that whenever you want a salad, your dressing's already made. And so French dressing is like, you know, again, my mother, all about flavour. Dijon mustard, lots of soft brown sugar, lots of salt and pepper, lovely vinegar, whatever.
Which vinegar do you use? Sherry?
Depends on my mood. So I've got my own red wine vinegar on my stovetop. So whenever we've got the ends of a nice bottle of wine, it just goes into the crock.
Mum, we should do that. No, there's never an end of the bloody bottle of wine. You've already drunk it, Mum.
I've still got some white organic wine.
Hang on, you tell? So how people? Of course, people can make their own, but I've never really thought about this.
Does it just wine will just turn to vinegar? Eventually?
Wine just turns to vinegar. So white wine, I think, is trickier. White wine vinegar, but this red wine vinegar is so cool. So you get the mother online. There's a couple of people do it. Mine was from Cult, I think.
Mother being the like.
Goopy. Like the sourdough starter.
Like the sourdough starter. It's so cool. It's like a jellyfish. Yeah. It's like the kids love it. They go, show us the mother
and then you
again.
Just put a drop of wine to
Also, I love the fact it's called a mother, you know, where all things start. Mm. Women were the first farmers. Love that too. Anyway, so you get the mother and then you just feed it. Every time you've kind of got a bit of drop. You know, you're going away and you think, I actually don't want any more wine. You just throw it in. Not always, you know, if you're getting rid of someone's bought a really crap bottle of wine that you think, I don't want to drink that. Don't give that to your mother. because then your vinegar will taste nasty.
We're talking about the jelly mother, not your actual mother or mother-in-law. Yeah,
yeah, okay. And definitely not the mother-in-law either. Mm, that would be bad. So yeah, feed your jelly the same type of wine you'd want to drink. I'm not saying really expensive wine, but just
but
normal
just
wine.
Not crap on it.
Yeah, not crap wine. And then you've got vinegar on tap, because good vinegar is delicious. And it's also really, also really expensive. Like really nice vinegar is really expensive. So in my, it depends on my dressing, it depends on my mood. But sometimes red wine vinegar, which I love, sherry vinegar, I love. Mm. I've got really into cider vinegars. Not only brilliant for arthritis, my parents drink it every morning with apple juice.
Apple cider, yeah.
Yeah, so a bit of apple cider in apple juice is delicious and keeps lots of bugs and things away. But some of them are delicious. There's one called Umbro something that tastes like a kind of balsamic. It's really sweet.
I've been getting into white balsamic.
Yes, also good. Diana Henry got me onto that. Mm. Yeah, white balsamic. So yeah, I'm basically obsessed with vinegar. And actually, really, Mexico. So in Mexico, all the housewives make their own vinegars. So from guava, from apples, from pineapples. Oh, and the cooks in the villages, they get, you see all these kind of bottles in the windowsill.
So what happens to the fruit then?
The fruit ferments and kind of gives off sugar, which ferments into. Yeah.
And then do they strain it?
They strain it. Some don't strain it. Some do strain it. But yeah, so pineapple vinegar is delicious.
You've got a window still there that you could just have loads of lovely kiln, you know.
There's a great recipe in the book, actually, for pineapple vinegar. Or then tepache, which is one of those amazing, you know, fermented drinks that you drink, like a kind of
kombucha.
Shrub, like a kombucha star, which you just make with your pineapple skins. So eat your pineapple and then you keep your core on your skin.
How long does it take to make, though?
Like a week? No, less than a week. 4 days?
Oh, there was us planting the tops of the pineapple thinking that was clever.
I'm talking so much.
No, So I'm presuming that dish is your starter.
That's my starter.
The souffle is the starter.
Yeah, okay. Cheesy, delicious with a crisp salad and a really delicious dressing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice. Can't have an undressed salad. Why would you do that?
No.
Next.
Main.
This was really hard. I felt this was really hard. But I decided I would go for lamb. Or mutton, whichever. But basically, it's slow cooked, I thought.
Yeah.
I hadn't really decided, because I was thinking about this last night and on the way here. I hadn't really decided whether it was going to be like a really good mutton curry or a really good mutton barbacoa or lamb.
Are you doing mutton because you prefer the taste or because you're being sustainable and thoughtful?
No, just the taste. Because lamb's delicious, but then mutton's got even more. It's like goat. I mean, not everyone likes lamb. Mm-hmm. But I think the flavour is amazing. And so I'd either slather it in a kind of adobo of ancho, cumin, garlic, onion, vinegar, maybe a bit of quince for sweetness. And I'd just shove it all over there with some allspice and cinnamon and just shove it all over there for 24 hours and then slow cook it, maybe even cook it on the barbecue to finish it, get it all sizzled and caramelised, eat all that fat.
Like how long are you going to cook it for and what temperature?
I'm going to cook it overnight if I'm really busy and can't deal
day. So when you cook overnight, what
temperature?
Like 100 degrees or 110, but shoulder, not a leg, because the shoulder's got the work.
Yeah.
And that it really breaks down and then it's so soft. It's actually more relaxing, I think, to cook shoulder. Because you can just shove it in and forget about it.
And it tastes so, it feels so magnificent when you...
It is slightly fattier.
It is fatty. So it is fatty. So you can drain off the fat, which is true. Yeah.
Do you drain off the fat?
I think not when I'm actually eating it, but definitely afterwards. You know, you can see all the fat congealed in the pan. You think, don't want all that. So it depends. It depends. It depends how...
What would you have it with?
I would have... If I was doing Mexican, I'd do a really delicious slaw with loads of different crisp vegetables and lots of fresh lime and a bit of olive oil.
You've got an amazing
herbs.
Slaw, actually, that I've done years ago on the podcast. It's like, I don't know if it's your quintessential slaw, but...
Well, I think you can put anything in a slaw, which is so good. So it's fennel, red cabbage, white cabbage,
but
carrot.
Did you do like a green goddess dressing or something like that?
Oh, yeah. No, I do have... I mean...
But would you avoid the green goddess dressing?
No, I wouldn't necessarily avoid a dressing. I always think dressing, the more dressings you have, the better. I think, though, for a really fatty cut of lamb, you probably want something quite sharp, sharp dressing. So maybe just... Well, a bit of oil, maybe. Or a bit of tomatillo salsa. Probably get hold of some... Tins of tomatillos. You can get some canned tomatillos. Definitely you can get those.
Cans of what?
Tomatillos.
What are they?
They are amazing. They're related to Cape Gooseberry, but they're like green tomatoes. And they're really citrusy and they're delicious. And people are starting to grow them in this country.
Tomatillo.
So what? And you get them in a can. So what? How would you
just blitz them?
Blitz them and
it was their juice with half an onion, a clove of garlic, masses of fresh coriander, and some jalapeno, and maybe a bit of vinegar or fresh lime, and that's it. So it's really sharp and citrusy. So I'd have my tomatillo. I'd have my really fresh slaw with lots of different colours, like sliced radish. It would look really pretty. So you'd have this quite big hulk of meat, and then you'd have very, very pretty slaw with chervil and coriander and tarragon or any herb you want. And then you'd have your tortillas.
Why did you come to us for lunch? We should have gone there.
I know, but yeah, definitely next time. And then, I mean, Indian also. I am, by the way, also a mutton curry. It's very good. And Dad does this amazing banana chutney. But I think it's a Madhav Jaffrey one, and it's really good with mutton.
Do your parents still live in London?
No, they live in the countryside now. Yeah, with their dogs.
They
many
must
dogs.
Be so proud of you.
Do you know what's so fun is that when we left home, my mother said, I am fed up with cooking every day. From now on Saturdays, you're cooking. I'm not going near the kitchen. And my father said, fine. And he got out Madhav Jaffrey, and he spent all day in the kitchen. He came out with these three incredible curries. And he cooks all the time now. So over lockdown, the woman running the local bakery said, when I turn 100, I'm shutting this shop. And everyone's like, yeah, whatever, Dorothy. And then she turned 100 in April 2020. And in May 2020, they shut the shop because her son, the baker, was 76. And he said, do you know what? I've had enough too. And my father was like, what am I going to do? This bread that I've been eating for the last 20 years, I can't do without it. So I brought my starter over. And I said, look, I'll just show you. I think you'll be able to do it. Because his pastry, he makes the best shortcrust pastry. Like buttery, flaky, like his treacle tart. It's so insane.
He must have cold fingers.
Yes.
Yeah, my mum.
Why is that?
And
that,
death.
Jagger had cold fingers.
Yeah, you have to have cold fingers, my mum said, to be able to make good pastry.
My sweaty little chimbalatas wouldn't be very good.
You've got to have cold fingers.
So what, now is he a bloody amazing baker?
Well, as always, he's really annoying about it. Because he's like, oh, if I get in sunny, when you make sourdough, you get in a bit of ruts of when it's not behaving. So the other day I was like, Dad, what are you doing about your turns and the length? And what are you finding this? And he goes, no, I just turn it and I make it, shove it in the fridge, leave it for 2 days and I bake it when I want. You know, with this kind of offhand devil may care. I mean, shame on you, Dad. It was like the time when I was testing a recipe in their house. And I was like, have you got any pomegranate molasses? I really need it to test this recipe for The Guardian. And he was like, what? Bought pomegranate molasses? I make mine.
Oh,
I was just
stop.
Like, some people, Dad, have more time on their hands than others.
He's retired and you're not.
Yeah, thank you.
Of course, you cook for The Guardian every week. Is that a big chore, having to
do you have like
come
a team
up
that
with something?
Can do, that,
I have, do you know what? I have a team of mainly girls. I've got a boy in now. Freddie. And they're amazing. And it makes me so happy getting a team of, you know, they're all younger than me. I always think they're the same age as me. And I realise I'm like 15 years old when they forget the kind of, or
that
don't know
so
the music references.
Isn't it? Yeah.
But, you know, they make me feel young. And we have such a laugh and we talk about food all day and cook all day. I mean, it's just such a joy. It's actually my favourite job. One of my favourite jobs.
I need to go back to your main. So you've got the slaw, you've got the lamb. Are you going to have any kind of carb on there or are you not bothered?
Yeah, no, definitely carbs. I wouldn't say layered potatoes because they always go really well with lamb. But I'm not sure you could have, because I'm thinking we're in summer. So you could have lots of like roast Jersey roll potatoes, roast with lots of olive oil and salt and pepper, squished slightly, like parboiled, squished, covered in oil, lots of garlic and salt and pepper and olive oil, put in the oven until they're crispy and crunchy. And then my favourite recipe at the moment is a charred jalapeno garlic mayo.
Oh my God. Come on. Is it in the book?
It's in the book. It's bloody good.
Oh, I
tell you. And you dip those bad boys into that garlicky chili mayo. And it's not very spicy, Lenny. I promise you.
Good.
It's garlicky. And then it's got this little like kind of like black pepper, just like little tingle on your tongue. It's so good. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds heaven.
Do you sell produce at your shop? You should.
No, I know we should. Do you know what? Really
because then we'd be able to get our... Have a nice meal and then buy all our chilies.
Yeah. I keep telling people we should be making
mayos.
Well,
do an online one.
I know, I should. Do you know
just
I should start doing
it? Just even if you don't have a shop front, do an online Oaxaca.
Lenny,
I think I'm going to do that. I think I'm just got to start
because
doing that.
Because I think if you can access the stuff, and you probably can get it all in from Mexico
the
as well.
The chili oils, the mayos.
That little sugar thing.
The chili paste, the hibiscus sugar. Oh my God, it'd be so much fun.
Yes. I don't know why you don't. I mean, you'd be doing us a service.
Yeah.
Okay.
Doing us all a favour.
Yeah, okay, great. I can.
Just something to add to your many different hats that you wear.
I'm going to do it.
Pudding.
Pudding.
We've got a pudding here. Is this your favourite one?
I think maybe you'll do this pudding. We might do this pudding. I mean, I love chocolate. Basically, I'm a chocoholic. So
because mole has chocolate in it too, right?
Mole has
chocolate in.
Not everyone.
Mole just means...
Sauce.
Yeah. But a lot of them have chocolate, right?
Yeah, like the dark moles have chocolate because the richer ones for turkey or chicken or pork have chocolate. But then the green moles have, and the yellow moles are much lighter, so they wouldn't have chocolate. So you only use the dark chocolate to get that really rich flavour going through, because originally hot chocolate was drunk without any sugar. It was only the Spanish that found that when you put sugar to chocolate, it was even more delicious. So the Aztecs would go into battle just drinking hot chocolate with spices.
Almost like their kind of coffee.
Yeah, which I found really cool because I don't know what you feel, but I think with kids it's really hard finding any headspace and time to think properly, which is my permanent... So writing a book, I found over the last couple of books I've written, that a lot of my book writing happens at night time. Not like I don't put an alarm on, but I wake up at night and worrying about this book that I'm not writing. And then after about half an hour of lying in bed worrying, I think, oh, Christ's sake, I'll just get up and actually write the book. So then I make myself a hot chocolate with proper dark chocolate, like really quite strong dark chocolate. And then I'm buzzing. And then I write for like an hour and a half straight, this amazing focused. And it's my best work time. No one can disturb me. Not even the dog comes near me. So I've got no kids, no husband, no... I'm in this perfect, peaceful
time. God, I think you're
time.
Like Bon Jovi, I'll sleep when I die. I'm telling you, I know
sleep's important. And I do try. I do try and go to bed early. And those times I try and have lions. But then this amazing woman on my local high street does these Ayurvedic massages. And I had one when I was pregnant with my last baby 5 years ago. And I promised myself when I finished writing this book that I'd have another massage. So I booked it in and I was talking about this focused time in the middle of the night when I'm writing my best stuff. And she said, that's really interesting. There's a compound in chocolate that creates a creativity and a focus. And she said, in Ayurvedic medicine, before you meditate, so she gets up at some crazy, insane early hour. She has her hot chocolate with all her spices, and then she meditates, and it gives her creative focus.
See, this is where we're going wrong.
We all need to be drinking
hot chocolate. Not with loads of milk, but loads of chocolate.
Oh, wow.
Some milk, but yeah.
Which chocolate do you use in yours?
I mean, I'm not a chocolate snob, just as long as it's 70%.
Milk chocolate? Real proper chocolate?
Yeah, yeah. I do cocoa, raw cocoa and chocolate.
Okay.
It's got to be really chocolatey.
And what milk do you use?
Whole milk. Whole milk. Like, it's got hot grass-fed, because then it's got omega-3s, not 6s. It's amazing things that happen
to
cattle.
When you're...
Why don't you want omega-6?
Omega-6 is the bad fat. Omega-3 is the good fat.
Okay.
So if you're eating beef...
Where do you buy grass-fed milk?
Well, now Yo Valley says grass-fed on it.
Oh.
Or any local farm shop. Or your local farmer's market will sell you grass-fed
milk. I'm
going to
buy Yo Valley milk now. Mm.
So the amazing thing, you know people say you shouldn't eat beef because of the carbon?
Mm. Yeah.
So beef, cattle are pivotal for turning around soil. So we're losing all this soil, which is really bad for the future of mankind. The Mayans died out because they killed all their soil. So we've got to turn around our soil as quickly as possible. If you leave the soil alone, it takes about 100 years to regenerate. If you put cattle on soil, it regenerates in 5 years.
Why?
Because they're pooing and they're snuffling and they're stomping and they're just creating all this biodiverse cultures and bacteria. And it's the fastest thing that turns like properly bad soil, like we're talking nothing living in this soil, to soil that is teeming with life and fungus and microbiomes and stuff. That's cattle. So actually, having some cattle is pivotal for the future
of
mankind.
The value of dung and poo.
So you just got to eat none of this factory farm stuff. Just have a super mega special treat and really enjoy it, knowing that you're doing actually good for mankind.
Where do you buy your beef?
butchers. I just go to my
butcher.
Do you
have your local butcher?
My local butcher is run by Flo. Shout out to Flo. Brooke's Flo. Butcher. She's so brilliant. And she runs our local butcher and she loves food and she really cares about where it comes from. And she's mega. Love you, Flo.
Dessert. It's not going to be a hot chocolate.
No,
it's
going
to be maybe this dish that we're about to eat. Should we get it out and then we can all just kind of savour it?
Do you need a bowl or a plate to serve it
in? I think plate. Yeah.
So we're about to go on to Tommy's pudding.
So this is, it's flourless actually. So if you've got a thing with flour, don't need...
And this is in the cookbook.
This is in the cookbook. So it's got some hazelnuts in. Mm. And it's not quite as gooey because I made a small one. But because I actually divided the recipe in half because I realised my husband's uncle and aunt were coming for dinner tonight.
So you need to make one for them.
So
wonderful.
Is that okay?
Isn't that sweet?
But so normally it's a bit gooier because this is only half a recipe. But basically it's got tequila, ground hazelnuts, lots of chocolate and some eggs. So it's kind of like a kind of gooey... souffle-like
so
chocolate
we're
tort.
Basically having a... We've had a courgette souffle and now we're having a chocolate tequila souffle. Hold on.
And we've got cream with it because I would never unwittingly eat pudding without cream.
I love cream so much.
So good. So good.
Sorry,
I just
helped myself.
A really small bit.
No, that's absolutely
I'll
fine
give myself
by me.
Oh my God, that's good.
Alice.
Mum, this is great.
There you are.
Oh yeah, you can taste the tequila.
Oh yeah.
It's just like...
I make these truffles too, like chocolate tequila truffles. They're quite good. And it's got cinnamon, which is which I think can be really overdone, but I think you use the right amount, it's really good.
This is heaven.
Oh, thanks.
Is that quite straightforward? Or not? What's the trick here?
So it's got chili in.
See?
I'm not against chili, darling.
No, but what this I don't know if you can detect a tiny little light tingling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's got... I ran out of anchos, actually. This is the recipe in the book is using anchos. But this instead has got... I just pulled out a couple of chilies from my larder. But it just adds a little background level of flavour in there.
And would you always use hazelnuts?
You can use almonds easily.
Almonds as well.
Yeah. In fact, there's actually a pumpkin seed cake in the chocolate and pumpkin seed cake in the book too. The other thing I really wanted to make you, I couldn't decide between that or this one. Do you like coconut?
Mm.
So there's a coconut tart in there and the pastry is really easy and nutty. And then the middle is a fudgy toffee, fresh lime, fresh orange zest, coconut. It's kind of a sticky, squidgy. It's so good. And it's basically this restaurant in Mexico City always has this coconut tart on, and it took me so long to try and get anything like it, and I think I finally nailed it. It's been a 10-year basically odyssey to try and get the same coconut tart as this contramar in Mexico City, and I think I've almost nailed it. So you nearly had that, but
this is absolutely beautiful.
Oh,
gorgeous,
sublime. I can feel the chili now.
Yeah, but it's lovely. A little caress on your tongue.
Yeah,
so.
It's a caress.
It kind of reminds me that I've had something delicious.
Oh, that was so good. Did you soak the chilies with those ones?
I did.
Yeah, because I got a little chew of a chili. It was quite nice.
But you don't need to put chili in this. It's just a lovely kind of extra. I think ancho and chocolate work really well together. But because of the sweetness of it. It's a bit like that Spanish Nora pepper. But you could easily make that without chili.
I love that. But with the tequila,
tequila's definitely
good.
Over
the next 10 years... Will you carry on at this pace? I mean, because I think what's so admirable about you is not that you're only a great cook, but you're a female entrepreneur, really. And you've...
Activist.
You're an activist. You've opened frontiers for women, which is, for us, great.
Oh, I literally got goosebumps. Thank you. Gosh, I feel rather emotional about that. Thank you, Lenny.
But you are.
My next 10 years is going to be... just following my passion. I mean, I think farmers are the true heroes, you know, with the nurses of the NHS. They grow the food we eat, so they need to be paid properly. But they're also on the frontier of climate change. And we've seen how all these forest fires and droughts are happening. We need to invest in the farmers and pay them a proper wage so that they can look after the planet and the soil for us. So I think really doing lots of work with that and the chefs and school staff. That is so much my passion, but also just cooking and feeding people is my passion. I mean, food is the greatest pleasure, and just writing recipes that people cook is the greatest pleasure, because that's why I hate the calories. Food is about pleasure and enjoyment. And, you know, if you just cook from scratch a bit, butter and cream and olive oil, it's all good for you. You know, it's all great stuff, and indulgence is good. So I think you should never say no to food. You should always say yes to it. But just you buy the stuff, whole ingredients, and buy it from people who care.
It's the processed rubbish that you don't need to have.
Don't need the processed rubbish. They should tax that to pay for all the food in the schools. Yeah. Tax up the ultra processed. Yeah. So and then feed the kids who need the food. That's why I say amen.
Before we let you go on to
dancing, I'd be doing lots of dancing too.
Okay, good. I need to know your drink that would go with your Last Supper, and I've got a few more questions for you.
I think I would sip tequila at the beginning. With my souffle, I'd have a really delicious glass of white burgundy. Like really.
Oh my God, I'm so into it at the moment. Mm. It's a big problem for me.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Like a really crisp, dry Chardonnay or something like that.
Yes.
That's what I'd have with that.
I've got wine. We could have had wine. I just didn't offer it because I thought
that's
you
wine.
Had tea.
That's wine.
Do you would like a glass now?
Got any tequila?
No, sure only the bloody one. Sombrero
I've only
one.
Got the sombrero one. That's clearly going to go into a chocolate cake next. Or would I actually besmirch the chocolate cake if I use
besmirch.
My cheek?
What a good word.
Use my cheek tequila.
Word. Do you know what? I am a purist. If it's got 100% agave on it, I think it's fine.
Okay. So you like dancing. Do you like karaoke?
I mean,
would you if you had to?
I have. Do you know, it's so funny about karaoke, because if you'd say to me karaoke, a bit of me sinks. But then I am the person who you can't get the microphone away from at the end of the party. Which is, but I can't sing very well. But if you left me on the dance floor, I'd be there for 6 hours happily.
What do you like to dance to then?
I mean, literally anything. I mean, you could do what? Grime, hip hop, disco, reggae.
What was your first dance with your husband?
I think, oh my gosh, I should know this. What was it? We danced till 4 at my wedding. It was really good.
It wasn't in Mexico, your wedding?
It wasn't. It was my parents' house. But my husband laughed because it was the only time he could visibly recollect me begging to leave a party. By 4 o'clock, I was completely done. I was like, please, can we go to bed now?
He was like, yes, I got her at last. I wanted to know, what is kind of the most nostalgic taste to you of your childhood or somewhere that means a lot to you?
Gosh, so the two things that bring to mind is one, my granny's leek quiche that my father still makes. My parents make it together. But, you know, my father makes the pastry, which on its own is so delicious that you're desperately trying to steal the pastry off everyone else's plates. And then the filling my mother makes is kind of slightly souffled leek and cheesy filling, and it's golden and it's so delicious. And if we come home on a Friday night and she's made that, everyone's really happy. And then my other side, my other granny, because she was from South Africa, made a bobotie. And that...
Oh, it's fantastic.
It's a kind of meat loaf.
I've never had it as a loaf.
Have you not?
No, yeah. I've only had it...
So you can either have it as a stew or set into a loaf. Okay. And it's got kind of raisins and
raisins
spices.
And mince. It's mincemeat,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's mincemeat. Yeah, it's mincemeat. And that just, I can just... Just when you said that, it came to my head that that's what she'd make us. So,
Before we let you go...
Have you got good table manners, do you think?
Have I got good table manners?
I mean, think you have, but what do you think?
I'm really self-conscious. I'm slouching over the table with my elbows on the table.
No,
I inherited a really bad habit of eating sad leaves in my hands from a very well-known cook in... I think Alice Waters did it, but I remember thinking it was the most... like suave thing, seeing this kind of heroine of the kind of food and farming and restaurants eating delicious sad leaves with their hands. And now I see my children eating with their hands all the time, and I realise they've completely got it from me. So that's
it's
quite
awful
bad.
When you realise your children inherit that.
It's not the worst thing to do,
no.
though, is it?
No, but I think it's sometimes when you see in your children something you've done and you slightly disapprove of and you realise it.
It's you. I know, because also I'm always cooking and I use my hands when I'm cooking all the time. That's what I love about cooking, is how physical it is. And so I'm always touching food. And so I think that's also, yeah.
Thomasina Myers, thank you so much for spending the time with us, teaching us so much, and us enjoying your beautiful food. Good luck with Meat Free Mexican.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for being here.
Thank you,
Val. And delicious food that you brought.
Conversation so much. She's inspiring, warm, talented, just like I loved it. And she welled up when you said that to her.
I know, but she is. She's a trailblazer. You know, she's opened frontiers for women. She's a proper female entrepreneur, but it's based on true talent. Mm. This is not someone that she knows so much about food. I'd just like to spend a weekend with her and talk about chilies.
We're going to put it here again. We told her, but she needs to have her own cookery school. So there we go. Let's make this happen, Thomasina.
Do a pop-up, just a chili weekend.
I loved your meal.
That you was see?
I know, I kind of...
Could you...
I thought it was going to be quite kind of bready, but actually...
But you couldn't even tell there was bread in it,
No, I loved
you?
It. It was great. And then her tart, I'm going to do that for my mates that I've got over when we get back.
It was delicious.
I loved it.
You couldn't eat very much of it, though.
I don't know, I could have had another slice.
No, I couldn't. It was really rich.
Thomasina Myers, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. What an absolute pleasure meeting her. I love having chefs, but like... like Thomasina Myers, wow.
She's so interested in food, where it comes from, how to make things more sustainable, all of those things.
Something.
Yeah, I did.
If you're interested in chefs for schools, have a look at it and see if it suits your school. Next week, we have...
The beginning of our Californian adventure.
California dreaming. That's going to be us. We'll see you next week for our LA adventure. And who knows what could happen.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.